Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Thousands of people, thousands. I don't know if you know that. We have thousands of captured fighters and thousands and tens of thousands of family members. And we did a big favor to a lot of countries, and those countries didn't want to take them back. So that's the way it goes.
That's certainly not what I believe will happen. I'm confident that President Trump understands the threat. Remember where we were, and I love Senator Graham. He's a friend. But remember where we were when this administration came into office. And now just judge us by our results.
All right, that's Mike Pompeo sticking up for the press. You heard what the press had to say. And all eyes are on Syria and the Kurds. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, that's where we are. Offshore and focused on what's going on there. The president defended himself, as you heard, against lots of criticism from fellow Republicans, too, over that decision to clear U.S. troops out of northern Syria. So that's allowed Turkey to step in. They have an attack. Our Kurdish allies unimpeded. Nobody's stopping them. Turkey launched their attack on the Kurds' militia positions on Hump Day, and the president aligned himself with some of those anti-war voices in the Republican Party, like Senator Rand Paul, and you heard Mike Pompeo, of course, talking about the Secretary of Defense, his thoughts on the prez and what the previous administration had put us in the middle of and where we are at this point. Lindsey Graham, I think, was the biggest shocker of all because he is usually doggedly protecting the president whenever there's any kind of an attack, a verbal attack on him, no matter what the subject seems to be. But he parted company with him here in a very, very big way. In fact, he says that there should be sanctions against Turkey. And that their proposed sanctions would also target the assets of senior officials that have mandated sanctions over Turkey's purchase of a Russian S-400 missile defense system. And they want to impose visa restrictions. They want to go for the jugular. And he said, I'm pleased to have reached a bipartisan agreement with Senator Van Hollen on severe sanctions against Turkey for their invasion of Syria. He said, while the administration refuses to act against Turkey, I expect strong bipartisan support. He's getting it. The Turkish military and Syrian rebel allies launched that op that I mentioned with airstrikes. He had Representative Liz Cheney, who is the chair of the House Republican Conference, said that the president's decision is having sickening and predictable consequences, and saying that this will aid our adversaries, meaning Russia, Iran, and Turkey. So that is the question of the day, of the week. Is this the right or wrong thing to do to abandon the Kurds? The White House isn't saying anything more specific about it other than what's already been said and what you heard. And will there be, if the reports of Turkish strikes in Syria are accurate, will the Kurds be slaughtered? What does that mean? Will there be enough Senate Republicans who would back sanction legislation that Lindsey Graham's talking about to override a possible Trump veto? If they do have it, it would be the first veto override of the president's presidency after too few Republicans joined Democrats for the two-third majorities in the Senate and House of Representatives to override his first five. So that hasn't happened. We know that. Would it happen here or not? And do we know about casualties? Do we know any more specifics? I think it's pretty clear what Turkey is intending on doing, and I don't see how they're going to back off unless suddenly they're thrust with massive sanctions, I suppose. But with the Republicans furious about it, that's not good. And with enough of them furious about it, that certainly makes a very big, big, big difference. And then in the middle of this, you still have the impeachment inquiry and what's going to happen with the whistleblower and the memo that came out, and does it validate the claims of the whistleblower and the chaos of that mixed in between everything else. And of course, the whole answer is you've got more people that are supporting the idea of impeachment, including lots of Republicans, but you have the memo and the testimony of somebody in the security field as to what specifically was a violation that the president could be taken down on or not. And you know, it's interesting, but it's how we roll here in America. You read one version of something, you read another version of something, you pick up the phone as a talk show host to make a few phone calls, and you get two different versions of what we're seeing, and pretty much the same rhetoric in the end. Yeah. So it's, once again, you make the call. You decide how you think this is going down. Read what you think are the facts and then make the decision from there. And then how about the president who warned Mitch McConnell about disloyal Republicans, contacting him and making sure, supposedly this story goes, that people are staying in line. The president spent hours tweeting about the impeachment and lighting up the phone lines of his allies on the Hill on Wednesday, including Mitch McConnell. And he stressed the importance of Republican unity. In private, the president, in fact, is leaning on Mitch McConnell in the Senate. If you think of the Mueller investigation, Trump is calling McConnell as often as three times a day, supposedly. And then there's all the rest of the Republican senators that the president is calling disloyal and saying that it's categorically false what's being talked about. But I think the more Republicans who criticize him, the more that message gets amplified. And certainly the president is not afraid to go after Republican defectors. Senator Mitt Romney said it was wrong and appalling for Trump to suggest the Ukraine and China investigate Joe Biden. Trump said this about Romney, you know what he called him? A pompous ass. And he suggested that Romney be impeached. So now there's more distrust, I think, that we've seen than ever with some of the members of the Republican Party. But it still comes back to that whistleblower, what's known, what sticks, all of that. And then what the next moves are on the chessboard. Hang with us. We're talking about some numbers and other things mixed in between the mashup.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
This is not what they expected, but Howie Kendrick's grand slam at the top of the 10th inning broke that 3-3 tie, and that's it. Adios, Los Angeles. It was a Game 5 for the National League Division Series, so off they go now to the Championship Series. How about that? I just thought immediately of the fact that you had a player who was such a superstar player who went to the Philadelphia Phillies. Anybody know his name? And left a team that now is perhaps on the verge of winning a World Series. Who knows? I mean, getting by the Yankees is going to be super, super tough. But Bryce Harper's no longer part of that team. And how about the Cardinals? They advanced to the National League Championship Series with a very historic inning. The Cardinals are so tough in the playoffs. So in this kind of mashup, I'm going to tell you about this. The Cardinals blew the Braves out of the postseason and into the history books. They had a playoff record 10-run first inning. So they just sucked the suspense out of that game. They did. But if you were a Cards fan, wow, you had to love that. I mean, the Braves had no answers for some of what the Cardinals were doing so well. So the stage is set there, my friends. And oh, by the way, my poor pal Sharon in Maine, we did not do Nail the Score this time around. I've been kind of off my game with Nail the Score the last couple of weeks, with a tree coming down and cutting the, I mean, these are excuses, the cable, and scrambling around to, and I know you deal with these things, right? Internet problems and figuring out how you're pulling it all together because we rely so heavily on technology. Here's the deal. We're going to do Nail the Score in our next show. Yes. And we're going to make it a three-gamer. So you have three chances to win. That means you have to make three guesses, so it's a little more work. You just have to say who you think's going to win of the three games I pick and what you think the final score is going to be. So it's kind of like playing a parlay card. If you have three games, you have more chances to win, right? Or those multipliers that they use with lottery cards. How about that? So I guess it would be, in a sense, it would be kind of like that, right? All right, moving on to something else. This isn't good. I know I've been doing a lot of polls and studies in this show, and I used to call myself the poll princess at least once or twice a week. We'd go deeper on a poll. And I kind of, you know, sometimes you put things away and then you pull them back out again. I'll tell you what, I think this story, though, is scary and maybe scary for people listening to this show. They're talking about high risk of Alzheimer's or other dementias, and this new study found a possible link between insomnia, prolonged sleep duration, more than 9 hours of sleep, and a decline in neurocognitive functioning. They say that could precede Alzheimer's disease or other dementias. Wow. Think of the costliness of lack of sleep. More than 5 million people had Alzheimer's or another dementia in 2014. They think the numbers will double by 2016. And Hispanics are the country's second fastest growing racial or ethnic group that are getting Alzheimer's or dementia. Wow. So the risk, especially with the sleep, really shoots through the roof. I don't know why it is that we think we can like save our sleep. Like, I'll sleep over the weekend. I'll sleep in. I get to sleep in. But it's not I get to sleep in. It's I'm dog tired. And okay, so now I'm going to get normal sleep and not have 3 and 4 hours sleep. I don't know. You know, that's one of the things about Donald Trump they talk about, that he never gets a lot of sleep. I don't know how people do it. If it's one thing if it's one day, but then if it lingers and drags out more than one day, boy, I think that is, it's really tough to bounce back after a couple of days, and I think have your wits about you, because it's tough to connect. I think your motor function is just a little bit off, and hearing that Alzheimer's could be something you'd have to deal with because of that, boy, that's not a place you want to go, right? You just have to decide at some point, you draw that line in the sand and that's it. Poof. I'm done. They're not going to get that email from me tomorrow first thing. They're not going to get it. Here's a discussion we probably should have had on the air with the hubs, but a lot of people I know have cut the cord on cable, and there was a big story about it in the tech section of the USA Today. Consumer Reports is saying that the fees that are being charged by the cable companies are one rate in the ads, another in the final bill. We know that. Similar to travel websites. We pay an extra $450 a year to our cable bills in hidden fees. Oh, I don't like that. So the push is on to cut the cord, and saying if it really got cut, then the fees would go away. But can you cut your cord completely? Can you just say, oh, I'll just watch the streaming and I'll get whatever news I get. But it is true, when you get those combo packages, $75.90, then it balloons to a really, really big package. A really big package where sometimes it's $200, $300, $400. What do you pay monthly? What do you pay for the bundles? Bah, 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 bah. So do you just get a Netflix and Amazon or whatever and skip all the other stuff in between? I think it's tough to wean yourself off of television, though, if that's your thing. Unless you can't pay the hijacking fees they're charging you. But I think people are listening to audio. Yay, we're in radio. I think that they're listening to other podcasts, other things. So where that all ends up, who knows? And gaming is so big. You know, we had Jason Lake on, the CEO of Complexity, and it blew my mind the things that he was telling me. But now I've met friends who have sons that have competed in some of these tournaments. So it's a real, real thing. And I think it's bound to take up some serious space. Let's put it that way, in the near future, because it already is. I just don't get it. I mean, somebody who's a really good strategist and tactical and they win, I understand that. But the enthusiasm of hundreds and hundreds of people around gaming and the so-called gaming athletes, that part I just don't understand. I mean, why would you want to go and watch someone play a game for XYZ? I don't mind if someone's showing me a game or they're talking about the game, but to actually sit there and being a willing participant to watch for hour after hour after hour. Did I say that again? After hour. Oof, brutal. And quickly, I'm going to leave you with this for this segment anyway. It's never simple. The Houston Rockets general manager, Daryl Morey, caused a substantial amount of damage with the NBA's relationship with China after he voiced his support for Hong Kong's pro-democracy protesters, because the league has spent millions of dollars investing in China, helping to build courts, giving broadcast rights away for free, and bringing stars for the preseason. And that's what they were exactly in the middle of doing until that tweet put the brakes on everything. Even though his tweet, which couldn't be seen in China because the country has banned Twitter, is still reverberating across the two countries. Yeah. What about all these companies doing business with China and the U.S.? It's going to be tight, let me tell you. Hang with us. We're taking you to Chicago and a cool river tour next.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Turkey has begun its military push into northern Syria just 2 days after President Trump announced troops would pull back from the region. Kurdish forces report there have been airstrikes and allege that some have hit civilian targets. Former Vice President Joe Biden, for the first time, is joining the chorus of Democrats calling for the president's impeachment.
Donald Trump will do anything to get reelected, including violating the most basic forms of democracy. It's stunning. And it's dangerous because it directly threatens our democracy.
Biden says President Trump has betrayed the U.S. The president quickly dismissed the comments.
Biden is dropping like a rock. I don't think he's going to make it. I didn't think he was going to make it for a long time. I don't think he's going to make it. And I guess this is one way he can do it. You know, he didn't say that until right now, and he sees what's happening to him. I guess he's no longer the front runner.
This is USA Radio News.
Money, money, money. Money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago that I had the opportunity, of course, with Forbes Books to be in Chicago. And lucky for me, I got in early, and lucky for me, I walked up the street and I stumbled on to a tour I had never taken all the times that I had gone to Chicago. So Shoreline Sightseeing has an architecture tour. And it is, I'm telling you, you know I travel all over, right, people? And it blew my mind. Becky Marshall especially blew my mind. She's a docent or AKA tour guide, and her knowledge just exploded my brain. I got off of the tour, and I thought, I cannot work today. I just want to walk around and look at all this architecture that I saw from the river, because we're on a boat and we're taking this tour of the architecture. So anyway, Becky, thanks so much for popping on the show.
Thank you, Kate, and thank you for saying those things. That's exactly what I want when people take my tour, is to see what's already around them through new eyes with like a layer of information.
So how did you get involved in this? What made you decide to become a docent? I mean, were you a student of architecture, or you just appreciated, or what happened?
That's a great question. So when I went to college, I did study art history, and art history is kind of an esoteric thing to study, but it always involves architecture history. And I also just really enjoyed architecture history. And what ended up happening in my life was I moved to Chicago from Florida and ended up getting office jobs and had very low morale and realized that I'd always wanted to be a tour guide. So I started doing it. And I really enjoy showing people things through my eyes.
And I would say that's exactly what you did on that tour, because you would talk about what happened, some history, what happened in a particular area, what period it was, the various buildings, and then your spin on it
I thought was so, so fascinating. Do you have a favorite type of architecture?
I think in terms of a favorite type of architecture, I think my favorite would have to be anything that's a little like fanciful or silly or unusual or strange. There are many traditions in architecture that are repetitive. And yeah, my own editorial is that anything that breaks from repetition and creates a point of interest is my favorite. So things like postmodernism, which modernism for, this is like the crash course in modernism. Modernism is less is more. It's a boxy building. It's very functional. It creates a lot of light, open space in the interior of a building. But the exterior landscape of a city becomes very repetitive with modernist buildings. Postmodernism kind of takes all the tenets of modernism and says, and what if we did something strange with it, like make it look like a sailboat or turn a skyscraper into a triangle or something like that?
Yeah, and there's some great examples on that tour. There's a famous female architect, and you were showing some of her buildings off, and she's heavily sought after. I don't know if her particular area, though, is postmodernism. Tell us about her and those buildings.
Sure. So, yeah, she's one of my favorites because, of course, she is. She is literally the only female architect on the tour in Chicago, at least the only one that I know of. I could be wrong, but her name is Jeannie Gang. G-A-N-G, and she is a contemporary architect. So the trick with art history and architecture history is anything contemporary generally doesn't have a name until it's coined, which, of course, happens in the media. So contemporary architecture, yeah, Jeannie Gang does work with glass buildings, which are common in postmodernism. Her current building in Chicago is called Vista Tower, and it is the third tallest building in the city and the tallest building in the world by a woman architect, or you could say designed by a woman. And it is an undulating, curving monolith. It's an undulating, curving three monoliths together. But usually buildings are straight up and down. Well, this building isn't. It comes out, it goes in, it comes out, it goes in. And it also uses something really unusual in architecture right now, which is different shades of blue glass. We've seen a lot of glass skyscrapers that are like big, I call them ice cubes, big, shiny, reflective mirror glass monoliths. And Jeannie Gang's building, almost completed here in Chicago, Vista Tower, uses different shades of blue in a gradient up and down the building, and it emphasizes it's lighter colored blue where the building is wider, and it's darker colored blue where the building is narrower. So it actually creates the optical illusion that it's even curvier than it is. And it's just so strange and so new, and yet also fits in with contemporary trends, that it's something I really appreciate coming in, especially on my day-to-day giving of tours in the living museum of architecture that is the Chicago River.
I love that, the living museum of architecture. And one of the things you talk about, and I was just in New York, and I told my friends in New York, and they said, nah, that can't be true. That's not right. Skyscrapers were invented in New York. Chicago can't take credit for that. But you said, really, skyscrapers really grew up in Chicago. Is that right?
Yeah, skyscrapers were technically invented in Chicago. And by technically, I mean, there was a man named William LeBaron Jenny, who was a civil engineer. He was a bridge builder, and he was a Chicago architect after the Great Fire of 1871, which the anniversary was yesterday, October 8th. And the architect, William LeBaron Jenny, he figured, what if we use the same steel framing of bridges and bridge engineering in structural engineering of buildings? And thus, the first ever steel frame skyscraper building. It was 10 floors. It was the, I forget what the name of it is because they tore it down. It's been torn down, the first ever skyscraper. Chicago does have a very early skyscraper called the Rookery, which is a beautiful decorative Chicago school architecture building. And that's considered a beautiful example of the archetype of the early skyscraper. So yeah, it is from Chicago.
How about that? And you talked about the anniversary of the Great Chicago Fire. When I was a little girl, I visited my Aunt Nancy And she lives in Chicago, and I told you that I wanted to live in Chicago because I liked going there. And one of the things we did was go to a lot of museums. And in one of the museums, they talked about Mrs. O'Leary's cow starting the Chicago fire. But you burst my bubble on that tour and said, that's not necessarily true, right?
That's right. So this is one of those stories that's always interesting to tell on the tour. A lot of times I even skip mentioning what started the fire because the real story is, nobody knows. And man, as a tour guide, the most boring thing you could possibly offer people is nobody knows. So the story that people say is the cow story, that Mrs. O'Leary, for whatever reason, is going down to her barn in the middle of the night with her lantern to milk her cow, and the cow, Daisy, so rude, kicks over the lantern and starts a fire that sets the city on fire. In reality, what is on the record is that the journalist who reported that later recanted. And essentially they've made it up to sell newspapers or whatever. Of course, the reality is Mrs. O'Leary was a person who had a barn where the fire started. And also the reality is her life was ruined because she was scapegoated. People say that it's a story of scapegoating an Irish immigrant woman. And I think that's really interesting. Of course, Mrs. O'Leary was never kind of socially exonerated, although the city has multiple times tried to exonerate her in the public consciousness. They've actually had what they called a parade of cows with big painted fiberglass cow figurines all through the city, kind of trying to exonerate the cow from the blame. But there's actually, and it's the most interesting story about what might have started the fire is that that same night, October 8th, 1871, multiple large-scale fires started throughout the Midwest. And in some locations, people reported meteorite showers. And in one location in particular, Peshtigo, Wisconsin, which was a small town, they lost 1,700 people. They think 1,700 people died, and they lost large swaths of forest. And that's way more people than died in Chicago. In Chicago, 100,000 people were left homeless, but only about 300 people died. And that's because people were able to escape out into the lake. People walked into the lake to save their lives, and they escaped into underground tunnels throughout the city, and only 300 people died. It's kind of amazing. It blows my mind every time I talk about it.
Yeah, it blows my mind, too. We only have a couple of minutes left, but one of the other buildings that I thought was so interesting and had a great piece of history was the post office. It's so large, and now it's finally being reused, right?
Yeah. So Chicago has this massive main post office. It was the post office from 1930 to 1996. It's got 2.5 million square feet. And when you look at it, it covers multiple city blocks. It's enormous. It's so big that they actually left a hole in the building for a future expressway. The building was built in the mid-1920s. There weren't enough cars on the road to warrant expressways, but they knew that it would come in the future. They actually left a hole in the building for a 6-lane expressway through the building that was built in the 50s. It was Congress Parkway, the expressway. And that giant post office was used as a post office because of the catalog industry. So catalog retail, so important in the 30s, 40s, 50s. Basically, if you lived in America and you bought something, you were buying it from a catalog company in Chicago. They were going to ship to you from this post office. And the post office was also built sitting on top of railroad tracks. They loaded catalog shipments directly onto the railroad inside the building, shipped them out across the country. Of course, most of the railroad tracks in the United States lead to Chicago. And one last thing, the building's been empty since the 90s. Finally, it's being turned into office space now. And the whole rooftop's going to be a park. People are excited about it. But in the meantime, while it was empty and kind of becoming decrepit, it was rented out and used as a film studio, and most famously, the Dark Knight film. The opening sequence of the bank robbery where a bus crashes into the bank. It wasn't a bank, it was Chicago's post office. And yes, they actually did crash a bus into the post office. So it was making some money as a film set during its off years.
I love it. Becky Marshall, we could talk all day. Check her out. She's an awesome docent on the Shoreline Sightseeing Architecture Tour. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily, now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame. He owed money to the IRS and they finally caught up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get to Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. Bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the tax relief line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000-plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930. That's 800-590-4930.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Guest we have for you today on this version of Author's Corner. His name is Dr. Peter Justice, and he's written a book called The Pursuit of the Personal Renaissance Experience. And I talked to him off the air, and we had such a fascinating conversation. He probably could fill up 4 hours on this show, but we want to get right to him so we can get to the heart of the book. Dr. Justice, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate that.
So you've journeyed long and far into some really cool, cool places. What made you decide to put this book together?
Well, I had this experience with a really simple, common kind of activity that all of us do for a couple of minutes every day that made me understand better where happiness came from. And as I was thinking about the experience, I just would like wake up in the middle of the night with my analysis of it, and I had to write things down, and pretty soon it all became this book. Along the way, the goal was just to be able to tell my children about what happiness was, and I think that was probably the main reason for starting to write it.
All right, so here's the million-dollar question, and really people are going to have to read your book to grasp it even in a bigger way. But what is happiness?
Well, happiness, my conclusion is happiness is all about improving oneself, and it really goes back to who we are as living organisms, is that we need to improve in order to be adaptable and to prosper in our world. And that's really the genesis of happiness, is that feeling that we're getting better. And that's, I think, it's the essence of it, actually.
So it's learning, it's growing, and it's not being stagnant, right?
Exactly. We spend too much time actually living through time rather than living in it. I talk a lot about that. A lot of our lives are spent in what essentially become existential voids. That is time that has lost meaning for us. And that, I found, was very prevalent in my life as I was thinking about all this. And you just really have to battle that. And the way to do that is to approach each part of you, everything you do, with more meaning, and finding the meaning and becoming more deliberate about what you're doing in your life.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because obviously you've had massive success as a doctor, and you've dealt with lots of human beings and probably having to tell them sad things and then happy things as well. And I think, and you talk about this in your book, you know, you look at fame, you look at money, and you look at all of that. But if you don't truly find that meaning, and that's what you express in your book, you won't ever really be happy. Am I right?
That is absolutely true, and I think you've really hit on a very, very important part of this.
And it's, like I said, interesting because you were obviously well-educated, you pursued a passion, and then you realized, like you said, you realized one day, okay, what am I going to leave my sons? What am I going to tell my sons? And was that rewarding for you to know that you leave them this idea of happiness and what they can do as they pursue what they're doing in their worlds, and it can be different for them?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what is our purpose as of human beings but to preserve for our offspring or help them find their way in life and make them just as happy as you can become? I mean, that's where most of the meaning of what we do in life comes from.
Absolutely. I agree. We want to say that, again, we're speaking to Dr. Peter Justice. The book is called The Pursuit of the Personal Renaissance Experience, Finding Opportunities for Happiness in the Ever-Present Now. I like that part, the ever-present now. Is that because someday is what we always say to ourselves?
That's right. You've got to live in your moments. You have to find out exactly who you are. Everybody is multidimensional. We all do different things. We all control different processes. But unless we understand all of those things in depth and the nature of those things, we can't really work on ourselves. We can't really get better. We can't really fulfill that whole notion of living better now unless we're, you know, unless we're engaged in self-improvement in the now.
And so for you, what was that journey like, the self-improvement journey?
Well, I think that when I first started thinking about this and formulating the theory about happiness as we've just talked about, I realized that I was actually myself living through time, not just going through motions, doing things, but not finding all the dimensions of self, not appreciating those things in a way that would help me become better at all those things. So I was living for rewards, just like we do at work. We sometimes just go through motions because we know where there's a reward. There's going to be some money at the end of the pay period, but we forget, you know, what we're doing actually in the time leading to that reward. And unless we appreciate those things, unless we fully understand who we are at those times, we can't be happy. We're going to find out that we're going to feel empty the time before the paycheck comes in, or the reward for what we do comes in, becomes emptier and emptier. And once I started realizing that, it changed the way I approached my whole day.
Ooh, that is powerful. So in changing the way you approached your day, give us a tip there, Doc. What can everybody listening, and of course they're going to get your book, but what can they do right now as they approach their day?
What I think basically what you have to do is focus on all the dimensions of self in those times. If you have a job, basically you can break it down into components. If you look at modern life, you find that people are, for example, always acting in relation to someone else. We have relationships. So we spend actually most of our day in relationships with other people. And then what you have to do at that point is just look at the nature of that in your work. You know, who do you have customers? Do you have co-workers? Do you have bosses? Do you have people work under you? All those are important things where you spend time and effort. And if you work on those things, your relationships with people around you, that's where you can get, you know, the most, back for your self-improvement. Because that's where you spend most of your time. Of course, you do things specifically. There's some technical aspects. We have, of course, in medicine, we do procedures and we do physical exams. And again, focusing on all those little details of self is where this is going to happen. And I think that's the thing that people miss. They just kind of live through those things. They've learned how to do it, or someone has told them how to do it, and they're not really looking at those things and trying to get better themselves at it.
We're speaking with Dr. Peter Justice, and the name of his book that you can pick up on Amazon is The Pursuit of Personal Renaissance Experience, Finding Opportunities for Happiness in the Ever-Present Now. Once you made that switch that you just described, how different was your life?
Oh, amazingly different. Would go through a day, and you would just feel fulfilled. You know, I think happiness is that feeling of fulfillment as you, again, you become better in all these aspects of self. And unless you're doing that, you really can't be happy. Unless you are constantly recreating yourself and looking for opportunities for that, you're not going to be happy.
That's powerful. That's like a tweetable moment. So I think we've weaved that in the conversation, what people can take away from it. But what do you truly hope? When you sat down, you wrote this book, you thought of your sons and your family, and you thought of a much bigger world that could also benefit from this. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, I hope that they have a template in which they can use to look at their own lives and then, again, live in their moments and again, you know, improve, identify things that they can work on. You can't do everything at once. You've got to do little steps at a time. And once you start doing that, you're going to feel this sense of fulfillment and happiness. And I just think it's so basic to humans that, you know, that this is powerful, that they will find fulfillment and enjoyment. And I hope in the book, I think, helps them because there's a lot of examples from contemporary culture where what I say is sort of back up and things that people could have a reference to. And I think it does help convey the message.
Yeah, so isn't it interesting that it's the one thing that somehow we leave off, and you see it all the time, Doctor, I'm sure you do, you deal with a lot of people, and it's such a powerful, powerful message, and it really is easy to follow along. The book is called The Pursuit of the Personal Renaissance Experience, Finding Opportunities for Happiness in the Ever-Present Now. Pick it up and change your life today. Doc, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, and thank you to everybody for listening to this version of the show.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.